Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
It's BudPod 245.
245. Who scored five? This is my impression of a really bad referee. Wait, who scored five?
Or like a really sleepy football fan.
Yeah, right. Waking up.
Waking up after a very exciting game.
Very fun game. Annoyed they'd missed such a good game. Who scored five?
Or someone just waking up, 5-0. Who scored five?
Yeah.
Because they don't know yet.
No, they don't.
They just don't know.
Yeah.
That's good. I like that. What are your dreams for Christmas?
My dreams for Christmas.
Peace on earth. Ah, peace on earth. Of mild.
A love for everyone. And no more burps. This guy doesn't like burps. His things are disgusting.
No more burps.
I hate burping. Yeah, the song becomes mainly about like how much this singer really doesn't like burping. It is so gross. Why can't people just fart?
But then I'm like the anti. He hates burping, but I hate slurping. And he slurps. He slurps during my burps.
The jerk. I think we've still not fully recovered from watching Les Mis. I think we live in a more Les Mis-y world now.
Someone who's friends with Luke and the guy who played Javert.
Uh-huh.
Fuck, I can't remember his name. We're like Twitter friends.
Oh.
And real life friends. Are we real? Anyway, I'm sorry if you're listening to this, and I know you are, because I know you're a listener. I've gone completely blank. But tagged both, you know, on Twitter, saying, like, good to hear about Luke and this guy.
Oh, yes.
And I clicked at the guy who plays Javert's Twitter profile. Mm. Doesn't look like him at all.
This is
it. Crazy transformation.
Yeah, there's a lot of makeup on these people. Also, there's makeup, plus you're quite far away when it's a stage reduction. And then when you see the person, especially like...
We were quite far back.
With the headshots that actors get. Are always idealistic, make them look the fittest they will ever look.
And also, like, the headshots are always, like, modern.
That person, really? With a completely different.
But the headshot, he had, like, a scraggly beard, and he looked like an indie sort of guy.
Ah.
Not, like, a clean-shaven French sort of proto-fascist.
Yes.
So he wasn't just not the same.
Interesting.
Oh, God, who's telling us about the... Yeah, I don't think we've recovered. And I went from seeing that to seeing fucking Tina Turner. So it's just been constant...
I'm going to see a musical tonight.
Yeah, what are you watching tonight?
I'm going to see Little Big Things.
Little Big Things. And what is that?
It's like a big thing that can be little, I guess. I don't even get it. It's about this artist who became paralyzed. Paralyzed from the shoulders down. And had to use a wheelchair but continued doing his art. Let me see what his name is. Because this combines my two new interests, musicals and art.
Those are your two new interests. You're becoming a man of letters.
A man of letters, a man of cultures.
You were a man of engine, of machine, for so long, Philip.
Henry Fraser.
Oh, yeah?
The artist. Do you know this person?
The name rings a bell, but those are two pretty common names.
This uplifting and colourful new musical is a life-affirming reminder about the transformative power of family and how sometimes it really is the little things which matter the most.
Too many adjectives.
I don't like being life-affirmed in general. So I'm a bit worried about that. I don't like uplifting stories, so I'm a bit worried about that. But I think the staging's meant to be really good. And
it was Aaron Sidwell, sorry.
Aaron Sidwell, the Twitter mutual friend.
The actor, yes.
Okay. Excellent.
Everyone's favorite Aaron Sidwell. And he was tagging in, not just Luke Kempner, the quadruple threat, but also Stu Clark, who was the Javert.
Who was Javert.
That's what he looks like.
Oh, yeah.
He doesn't
look like an indie man.
He looks like
I think that's mostly to do with how much a beard changes a man's face.
Yeah, a lot. Mm. A lot. He looks a bit more Javert-y there.
Yes, there we go. This is Javert we know and love to hate.
It's everyone's favorite bread obsessive. Javert.
He stole a chunk of bread half a century ago, and I will not let it go.
Yeah.
I'm Javert. Murder someone if you like. I'm too busy with the bread man. I'm Javert.
I love carbs. I am French. I will tie you to a bench.
Nice,
those are some of his lyrics.
Those are some of his songs.
We should be more. Aaron is a celebrity pod bud, you know.
Of course.
Because EastEnders and Doctors.
Wow. The guy who tagged us. Aaron listened to Bud Pod before we saw him play Javert.
No, Aaron's not Javert. Aaron's the guy who tagged Javert.
Oh, Aaron
knows he knows Luke and Javert socially.
Oh, I see. I see.
From
the
Actors Club, darling.
I see.
Where they all go to have cocktails, the new type of drink.
The loveys, all the loveys laughing it up in their mansions in the middle of Soho.
Over there with their huge BBC contracts. BBC.
Their BBC West End contracts.
Something about all those stories about like. The two people in history who've ever got lots of money from the BBC has convinced people who read the Daily Mail that the BBC pays well.
Yeah, it's literally Gary Lineker.
It's Gary Lineker and Jonathan Ross.
And Jonathan Ross, yeah.
About.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
And they've just gone, well, everyone who says anything on TV gets £1 million. And
yeah.
It's a disgrace, actually.
But it's like tennis.
Yeah.
The top three people are paid extremely well and then everyone else is just slogging it.
I'd say comedy is I was listening to a podcast interview with it's not Ronnie O'Sullivan, it's the other successful snooker player.
Already too niche for me.
Yeah. but it was a podcast about mental health.
Oh yeah.
As opposed to about snooker.
Oh no, did he have mental health?
He had mental health,
oh,
this
no.
guy.
Oh no, I hope he recovered from his mental health.
If he's doing okay now.
Okay.
But he did have mental health for a bit.
This is how people, before people start saying that we're diminishing a serious thing, this is how people talk about mental health now. People, I've literally heard people say, he had mental health.
Yeah, he had mental health. What are you talking about? What does that mean? But this guy did. He did have some.
It's like saying someone had a broken leg by saying that he had leg.
Yeah, he had leg condition. Not even that. Yeah, he had.
No, he had leg.
He had leg. He had health.
Yeah, he had leg health. He had leg.
My grandfather had to go into hospital because he had health.
Yeah, and he died of health.
He died of body. he body died. But this guy was describing what it was like to be like an up and coming snooker player as you like build your career.
Yeah,
and it sounded like stand up.
Right, right. Yeah,
traveling around in the
rooms
car,
above pubs and
weird pubs. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You get some weird fans early on, like this. People have been doing it for ages, but never quite managed to make like a breakthrough.
Nice pun.
Oh,
very good.
We'll see that on the BBC.
You won't see that on the BBC.
Won't see that. Yeah. So, and of course, having mental health.
The snooker fact I know, which I'm not going to check because I like it too much, is that snooker became a TV thing because when David Animal Man
Attenborough.
Was
David Animal Man Attenborough. By God, that's David Attenborough's music.
Animal Man. dun, dun. Yeah, signs for Animal Man.
I'm going to put this chair through your forehead.
When he was head of the BBC.
Yeah.
And colour TV was just coming through. Is he that old?
He's really fucking old.
He's pretty old. And colour TV was just starting coming through, and snooker was chosen as a thing to show off colour TV because it had all these different colour balls.
And they could finally be comprehensible.
Comprehensible, yeah. You could finally make sense of snooker on screen. That's my snooker fact, and please, no one check it.
Your fact is
that's
like
something. That's something I have to say at the end of all my facts these days. Please don't check that.
And please, no one check it. Okay, and coming up next on the show.
It's a funny way. Imagine it's like one of the report on the journalists on like the Today program said, and please no one check that.
So they've gone, well, that'll cover it. That's that problem solved. That's really funny. Of course, and this is the first man to ever achieve such a thing in the world. Please no one check it. No one has ever done this. Please no one check it. Or saying it as though it's just like an aside.
Yeah.
No one has ever done this in the world. Please no one check it. I'm Phil Wang.
It's the kind of thing they say when you can tell they're moving from one page to the next. And then,
oh, yeah, yeah.
And please no one check that in Sudan earlier today.
Yeah. And it was the largest of its kind ever discovered. Please no one check that in Sudan. Please no one check that. Yeah, that's good.
Or like following it with the, please don't check that. The time is 12:34. And here's the news.
Please no one check that and enlighten news. Yeah. Every news broadcast ends with an appeal to the audience to not check anything. Check anything that they've said. Also, the please is really funny. They're not even saying, don't check that. Okay, please don't check that. You'll make me look really bad.
It'll be really embarrassing.
It'll be really bad. So I'm admitting it's not true. I clearly know it's not true. Because I'm kind of begging you.
Why have you said it then?
Don't say that.
Yeah, just say something else.
It's as bad as saying, that's a lie. And it's the biggest of its kind ever discovered. That's not true. And now with the weather. That's like the way little kids lie.
Yeah.
I'm not lying, but I need another gummy bear or whatever. Like, they need to work on their rhetoric.
That's good. Oh, I've been watching so many movies. Have you seen Saltburn?
No, I saw your friend and mine, producer, comedy writer extraordinaire, Katie Story.
Mm.
She tweeted or posted somewhere about watching it through her fingers.
Oh, yeah.
But I wasn't sure why, and I forgot to message her and ask.
Oh, it's extremely tense and dark.
Dark?
Yet, and twisted.
Frightening?
It's a psychological thriller, I guess.
Oh, okay, so it's not spooky.
It's not ghosts.
It's not spooky.
No, but it portrays, in if anything, the scariest monster of all, man. Yeah.
Not him.
No, it's him, I'm afraid.
Oh, no,
I'm afraid he's in it.
I hate man.
Not the man, man.
No, not the man. I hate the man, but that's because he's trying to tell me what to bloody do all the time.
Yeah, man.
Okay.
Man is all of it. Man is everyone. Even the woman is man.
Even woman is man.
It's really good. It's really good. It's really, really good. Okay. Really dark and twisted and I'm like,
Were you distressed? Did you watch it through your fingers?
No. There are a couple of kind of gross bits, a couple of kind of visceral bits.
Okay.
There are a couple of set pieces that are probably there more for shock value than anything else, but I like a bit of shock value.
Yeah.
I like seeing something that I've not seen before on a movie, and I think that is reason enough to put it in.
Yeah. Like a talking shoe.
Yeah, like a talking shoe.
Never seen that.
Or something just sort of depraved and offensive.
Okay.
I don't. Maybe this is actually a spicy take, but I don't buy the criticism of gratuitous. I don't see why gratuitous is seen as necessarily a bad thing. If something's gratuitously violent or gratuitously sexual, the fact of it being gratuitous is in a way earning its right to be there because, well, if it's gratuitous, it means it stands out. It means it hasn't been done. It means that it stayed in your mind.
But have you seen Horrifier? I think it's called Horrifier or Terrifier or something. That's really like, I think we've discussed it before. Where
I guess
it's one of those horror movies where I go, this is porn for someone.
Oh, yes. No, I have seen clips of that.
It's really awful.
But for me, that's like, I guess what I'm saying is maybe my threshold for gratuitous is much higher than, I don't like people pearl clutching over like something gratuitous when it really wasn't that gratuitous.
Normally, when people say something's gratuitous, they're saying it like because they write for the Telegraph,
right? Yeah,
or the Daily Mail or the Times or like it's. Well, that's not fair.
I don't think that's fair.
The Guardian says it as well.
I mean, Independent's probably the whiniest fucking one of all of them at this point.
It's basically someone saying I'm a prude.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
You don't like prudes.
I don't like prudes, and I don't like people who dismiss
The value of extremity.
Yes, or novelty. Oh. I think, you know, there, I think there are a couple of scenes in Saltburn that you could say are just gratuitous and, you know, serve little purpose other than for me to go, oh my God, what?
Whoa.
And I think that's good. I think there's value in that. I like that.
That's part of art.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
I think there's no reason to... people like to demonize shock.
Is it basically sort of...
I don't see why you should.
Sexy, frightening Brideshead Revisited?
Yes.
Okay.
Although I don't know what Brideshead Revisited is. I've never read it, never seen any depiction of it. I only know it as a reference. I don't know what it is. I have no idea what it is.
A book and then a TV show.
Evelyn Waugh?
Yes, I believe so. Basically, a not rich fancy boy goes to Oxford and makes best friends with a rich fancy.
Okay, well, in that case, it's incredibly like Brideshead Revisited.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's that, but with like, you can see balls.
Maybe.
I knew there'd be balls in it. Maybe. I think balls are the new
penis. Balls are the new dick.
Balls are the new dick. You heard it here first. This Christmas, balls are the new dick.
I'm not sure you do see balls. I don't spoil it for anyone, but I'm not sure you do. Well, maybe if you're quick.
I think that they're the latest thing to put in films that people very rarely put in. Sometimes you'll see some dong flopping about.
Right.
But actual just ball.
For a period there, it was like a stamp of a cool new show or cool movie if it had a girl weeing. A girl sat down weeing with her pants by her ankles. I was like, oh, this movie is not your dad's
movie.
She's weird. But it kind of was a way to say, this girl's weird.
She's crazy.
She wees.
It's in Orange is the New Black.
Yeah, Orange is the New Black. I feel like it's in Fleabag. It feels like a thing that would be in Fleabag.
If it's not, it's spiritual.
It's in things like Girls.
Yeah, weeing, yeah.
And... Which is not, you know, not to say that they shouldn't be in there, by all means.
Go for it.
By all means. By all means.
Madam, don't let us stop you.
But I did notice it suddenly became the stamp of like, this is a
cool
female-led
alternative.
Show. Yeah. Yeah.
Because we're admitting about the weeing.
Yeah, we're admitting that we do wee.
Yeah.
And maybe for guys, it's going to be like, well, we're going to start admitting we got balls.
Yeah, we're going to start showing you what's under the peen.
Yeah, the
balls.
Everyone's a fan of the peen. The peen is the front-facing member of the dick and balls.
Behind every good peen is a pair of balls.
Your dick is the Harry Styles of the One Direction of your dick and balls, right? Everyone knows the penis, but they don't really want to look at the other ones.
No, and they don't like to remember them.
No, they don't. It makes things too messy.
They go, oh yeah, them as well.
Oh yeah.
Yes, okay, that's my spicy take for the main pod. Balls are the new dick.
Balls are the new dick.
For filmmakers. That's my prediction. People are you're going to start seeing bollies.
Yeah, I think you might do, yeah.
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 It'll be a way of being like, this is vivid without being technically pornographic. Because it's not an erection.
Yeah, you're not allowed to have
you
a hard
You can't show
dick.
A hard dong.
Yeah.
But bollies.
Yeah.
What's wrong with that?
Yeah.
Get some bollies in there. Have a scene where Spider-Man has his bollies out.
Spider-balls. Saltburn. It's really, really fun film. Really fun. Because it's by Emerald Fennell, who made Promising Young Woman.
Oh, yes. I recommend a book called Ridley Walker, sort of post-apocalyptic sci-fi book.
Oh, yes, you were just saying.
Which is great. It's so good. I loved it. It's from 1980, and it really, you can see its fingerprints all over Mad Max, all over any post-apocalyptic fiction that happened after 1980. It won the Nebula Award for best sci-fi book in the world, and
nice.
It was very noteworthy at the time.
Okay, I need to watch that. I need to read that.
You need to watch that book with your eyes, so then the words can become in sounds in your head.
There needs to be a German word for that particularly fervent passion you get about a book. Liked and finished. You don't really have it with anything else. Like, you really like the movie, you don't really say, oh, you don't have that sense of connection to it. You don't feel like, I think it's because you spend more time with it and because it's all happened in your head, so close and in your voice, you're like, you feel so close to it. You know,
I'm going
to
suggest the word. I'm going to make one up.
Okay, great. Excellent. Because I had that with Hangover Square by Patrick Hamilton, which is such a good book. And I have it about any book, really, that I'm reading. And if it's a non-fiction book, I get quite, what's the word, evangelical about the subject. I'll tell everyone, this is such an interesting topic. We've got to talk more about this.
Maybe it's also part of the excitement of telling people you've read a book.
That's it. I think that's a big part of it, is showing off to people that you've read a book.
Okay, how about this? Buch für Vollständigungsfreude.
Is Freude joy?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's book completion joy.
Oh, that's very good. What is it again?
Buch für Vollständigungsfreude.
Oh, that's too hard for me.
What will it say? Hang on, I'll make it say it out loud. Buch für Vollständigungsfreude. I'll put that near the microphone. Hang on.
Buch für Vollständigungsfreude.
Buch für Vollständigungsfreude.
Buch für Vollständigungsfreude.
Buchendonsfreundigung.
Buch für Voll.
Buchverfall.
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 Ständigung.
Ständigung.
Sfreude.
Sfreude.
Buchverfall. Ständigungsfreude.
Buchverfall. Ständigung. Ständigungsfreude. Freude.
Yeah. Ja, sehr gut. Ja, lustig.
Grazie.
Habe Buchverfall. Ständigungsfreude mit deinem Buch.
I mean, it sounds very believable.
It's good. I think German people listening are like, we're adding it.
We're putting it in. Scribble into a big book.
I like to think that guys in charge of the German dictionary are very strict about grammatical sense, but very open to just new compound words.
Yes, for sure. But I think that's why you have that.
We're adding it.
The whole point of having that blocky grammar is to be able to add words.
Yeah, so. Felicitazione. Well done. We're doing it.
I find that the language, aside from German, I think is more similar to German, is actually Mandarin. I think they're very similar because they're blocks.
You just add it together.
Yeah, put the blocks together.
A lot of, you know, book.
It comes from the German Buch, which originally meant bark, because people really wrote on
little bits of
tree bark. Yeah, bark. Mm. So when you're reading a book, you're reading a bark.
What if I read a book while listening to Bach?
Ah, that would be Bach und Bach Freude. Bach und Bach Freude. The joy of reading a book while listening to Bach.
In the bath. While dressed like Bart Simpson. Well, that would be terrifying to just see someone dressed as a Simpsons character lying in a bath.
Oh, especially if it's like really convincing, really good.
Really horrible.
Like good makeup and like the eyes are bulging. And like,
it's only when people try and make The Simpsons 3D that how disgusting they are really becomes apparent.
It's really horrible. It's really unpleasant. It's really frightening. They're really frightening.
They are really frightening. It's true. Yeah. There's something disgusting about them.
Yeah.
And when they're surrounded by their own colourful colleagues, it's sort of fine.
Why is that scarier? It's much scarier to encounter something that is humanoid but has some exaggerated feature than to encounter, like, just a big blob alien.
Uncanny Valley.
Yeah, that's it.
The theory is that it makes it feel like a corpse, or it's close to us but warped, right. Which implies, like, death or disease or problems or accidents, right. Or violence.
Where
or,
if it's different enough, it just becomes an animal.
Yeah, exactly. You go, well, that's just a blob.
Yeah.
And I think maybe the Simpsons' perfectly circular, enormous eyes are suggestive of shock or fury.
Ah, yeah.
Because when would your person's eyes look like that?
Yeah, it gives me the heebs.
Yucky. Yeah. Shall we go early to correspondence?
Oh, yes, because I'm catching up.
Like Father Christmas, we have bulging sacks.
Big old sacks. Which you can show in movies now.
Hint, hint.
Yes.
Anyone from HBO listening?
Yeah, if you want to make Balls the movie.
Yeah, no, I want to make a show called Balls, like Girls. But it's just about guys with their nuts hanging out their zips. As they go about their day.
I'm now watching Girls for the first time. It's really good. It's really good.
You can see why it was a defining
yeah.
A defining show.
Yeah.
Okay, here we go.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ring letters, emails, phone calls, correspondence.
Okay, so we have a message from Dingle Dongle to Paul.
Paul, tell us all.
That's good.
Thank you.
You mentioned mugs that can't be shared with builders in a podcast.
Oh, yeah.
What was your non-shareable mug?
Well, it was the one that I broke. The one from...
Yeah, you fucked it up.
From the V&A. Beautiful bone china one.
And it broke... it wasn't just handle, was it? It was a serious...
Yeah, it's completely fucked. I just poured at it because I was tired or hung... I think I was a bit hungover.
That's right.
And your fingers just stop activating when you're hungover. And you blip, pour, blip. I just pour at things.
Just flippers. And it reminded me of this story, he says.
Oh, yeah.
When my wife and I had just started going out, we decided to keep our first Christ's Mass presence relatively low budget.
Okay, yep.
Knowing her weird sense of humor, I set up an impromptu boudoir selfie session.
Oh.
That's funny.
Sexy.
With a carefully placed cactus hiding my horrible shame.
Oh. Wow, very damning about your own dick and bees.
Yeah, your own dongle and bongles. And then had the photograph printed on a mug.
Oh, that's cute.
That is funny. But not just any mug, Phil. This was one of those fancy thermochromic mugs that just looks black until you fill it with hot water.
Ah, then the colours change.
Whereupon the image of my pale, modestly hairy self would be revealed.
Oh, so the cactus would melt away?
No, just the whole image, I think.
Oh, okay.
So it's just a black mug.
Oh, okay.
Until you use it, and then in white...
Yeah.
He appears.
Yeah.
I was at work several days after I had ordered it when I got an email saying it had been delivered to my porch.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, yet when I came home, it was nowhere to be seen.
Uh-oh.
I slowly realized the gravity of the situation. At the time, I lived in an absolute bin bags neighborhood on a street that was frequented by enterprising young criminals.
Oh.
Someone had stolen my mug. While this was an absolute boreleg, I couldn't help imagining the two possible scenarios. One, seeing the criminal themselves using the mug and seeing my large nippled self appear to judge their wicked ways like a ghost.
Is he saying his nipples are large?
Yes.
Large nippled, yeah.
But just appearing on the mug, you stole me. Am I wrong to assume that a street-based mug thief would be homophobic, Phil? In my head, they have that flaw to them.
I feel like in this day and age, probably not, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think they probably have their workshops that they have to go to as well.
Yeah, street office. Thieves.
Yeah.
We try to be inclusive street thieves.
Yeah.
Yeah. Two, with it being a week before Christmas, the criminal re-gifting the mug to a sensible, older, plain mug-loving relative. And then having to explain what the hell was going on.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Grandma, no. The thought of this was more than enough to make up for the hassle, and I always smiled extra hard at the local ne'er-do-wells in the hope that they would recognize me. That's funny.
I mean, the way to make them recognize you would be to get naked, undress.
Put a cactus on your balls.
Just recognize me now, boys!
Some dodgy little fucker kind of cycling past you, and you smile really hard. And the guy goes, "Gah! You're that naked man on my mug.
Your nipples, man."
And they using their like mugger's knife, cut your shirt open to reveal it. And they go, "Just as I thought, it is you."
Your calling card, the nipples.
In the end, I emailed the mug company, and they found the story so funny, they sent me a second mug for free.
Oh, that's nice.
Lovely. Picture and color-changing video attached. My wife loved it so much, she demanded I make her a new version the following Christmas. We try to put them away when guests are around, but often forget. Oh, well. Cheers and Koji Paul.
Yeah.
That's a funny, like, oh, sorry.
Oh,
did
no.
I leave that out again?
Did you see that? Oh, how embarrassing. What did you think?
It's funny. Can you see?
Oh, let me see.
Because it's white on black, it does look like sort of a pornographic photo from 1911.
Oh, wow. It is quite vivid. It's pretty close up, and he's sort of splayed on a sofa.
Yeah, it's very boudoir.
With a small, well, I don't embarrass our man here, but with a house cactus held where his penis and balls ought to be.
And what of his nipples?
But to give you an idea of its essence, it having the penis and balls covered takes very little away from the sexuality of the image. It's still very, yeah. very vivid.
I'm aroused.
Yeah.
I've
got to deal with that now.
Yeah, we have a quick break now for us both to go whack off of a Paul's mug. Some tat from Julia.
Julia. Very coolia.
Very coolia. Julia says, hello, jobby boys.
Hello.
I'm approaching the poopcast from every direction at the moment, listening to the new ones as they come out, but also trying to catch up on old ones. It is rotting my brain.
Is this the Tarantino method? Well, what do we call it? There's someone else who's sort of...
Oh.
It's like a pincer movement.
Yeah. Oh, what did we call it? I don't remember.
Sandwiching? No, it's not sandwich.
Board? No.
No, that's not it.
But it's funny to see it with exclamation marks. It's rotting my brain. Thanks. I've attached a piece of cyber tat.
Oh, wow. Okay, great.
Cyber tat.
Robo tat is tat for the robots.
Live, compute, love.
Tat from the future.
I'm not sure it's allowed, but if Phil can guess the second part of this deranged couplet, I will most certainly poop myself with shock and delight.
Wow, okay.
So, it is a very... Yeah, stretch it out. It's a very dark sort of photo of just a lady's face. It's not relevant.
Okay.
Just to show like a lady.
Okay.
And then in white text, I'll quickly flash it to you there. Uh-huh, you can see on the dark image. Yep. In white text it says, not all girls are made of sugar and everything nice. Some are made of, get ready, blank, 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 blank.
Yeah.
Blank, blank, and blank. Just too many things. That's my first criticism of this tat. Long list of things.
Okay.
Also, it should be sugar, spice, and everything nice.
What does it say? Sugar and everything nice.
Yeah. You missed that spice. So they are made of spice.
Well, they had a lot of space to make up for in the second half of that tat. sugar and everything nice. Some girls are made from... darkness? Poison?
One of them is dark blank.
Dark thoughts.
Mm-mm.
Dark impulses.
That would be funny. Some of them have dark impulses.
Dark matter.
No, you're thinking too abstract. It's very literal and nonsensical.
Oh, gosh. Oh. Made from...
It's got nothing to do with personal qualities whatsoever. I have no idea why they've included it.
Oh, gosh. Okay. With dark... Oh, man.
Dark chocolate.
I was about to say chocolate.
Yeah.
Dark
I don't chocolate. Know why that's there. So it's...
Well, because it's food, I guess.
I like dark chocolate.
But it's bitter food instead of something sweet and nice.
Yeah, but you know, come on.
I was also just trying to say dark chocolate's not nice.
Yeah. Not all girls are made of sugar and everything nice. Some are made of blank, dark chocolate, blank.
Coffee?
No, it's the only
Whiskey.
Food.
Whiskey.
The only food is dark chocolate in there.
Oh, okay. The only consumable anything is...
Mm-hmm.
Oh, made
it's
from...
It's very
fears?
Random.
Fears?
The last one is to do with fear.
Shock. Screams.
No. To do with fear.
Yeah, screams is to do with fear.
Yeah, but I'm not saying necessarily of fear.
Okay.
You have to remember, threats. No, these are complimentary. This whole list is very complimentary.
But isn't it complimentary? Yeah, but it's complimentary for like a dark, twisted girl.
I think the dark chocolate here is more just like, I'm not shallow.
Right. Like those
bitches you're thinking of.
Courage.
Courage. So some are made of blank, dark chocolate, blank, 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 and courage.
Strength?
No.
Blank, blank is hyphenated?
No. It's an Americanism, though.
Oh, God. I think this is too
cuss much. Words.
Oh, fuck.
Cuss words, like saying fuck. Swearing.
Oh, cuss words. The word is cuss words. Cuss words.
Some are made of adventure.
Yeah.
Dark chocolate.
Right.
Intelligence.
Okay.
Cuss words. And courage.
Oh, boy.
Really repellent.
Yeah, that's a real bit of word salad there.
Really gross.
Cuss words. I made a cuss words me. Also, like, you can't be made a cuss words if you're saying cuss words.
Yeah, fuck it. Let's just say the cunt word. Words like fuck. Put that in there. Girls are made of words like fuck. Actually.
Adventure. Dark chocolate.
I hate the term cuss words.
Mm.
It's so prudish and...
Cuss, yeah.
Purse-lipped and... Mm.
Yeah.
Oh, don't use cuss words.
Yeah.
It's so... Just come on.
Just shut up. Just go home.
I don't like people who are shocked by swearing.
I hate it. It's the most tedious thing in the world.
It's embarrassing. You're frightened of words.
Grow up. Grow up.
Shock is for slurs.
You can't make fun of young people for being triggered by
insensitive
words.
These snowflakes.
Because someone said Jesus Christ.
I'm shocked that someone called someone else a cunt, but I'm not shocked by slurs.
Yeah.
It should be the other way around. Save the shock for slurs. That would be my keep calm and carry on poster.
Yeah.
It would be me dressed as a general pointing at the person saying, save that shock for slurs.
It's also a good thing to shout at a cinema in our ever-expanding category.
Yeah, yeah. Or someone behind us going,
or like,
turn around. Yeah. Oh, save that shock for slurs.
Not even knowing if slurs are going to come up in the movie.
No,
just
no,
in
no.
general.
Just in life.
Yeah. Yeah, like when in the bit you're watching Inglourious Basterds and they're skinning one of the Nazis, scalping one of the Nazis.
Yeah.
I remember a lady behind me went, oh, like that. And I should have turned around and said, save the shock for slurs.
Good rarely triumphs.
Good rarely triumphs. So enjoy this.
Enjoy this.
Yeah.
So save that shock for slurs.
Good rarely triumphs. Save the shock for slurs.
What was the last week's fucking memnomic?
Mnemonic. Bears, slutty dumb bears make good bread. Dumb slutty bears make good bread.
Make good bread. Dumb slutty bears make good bread. Right. Yeah. Yeah. We go this way. Like north, east, southwest.
Yeah. A scout leader just like
dumb slutty bears make good bread. Yeah. We go this way.
Here, yeah.
You can eat that moss. It's not poisonous. okay, poo-poo-la-la. So, shall we actually use this time to... We need to finally address the Joe Lycett episode.
Oh, yes.
He pranked everyone.
Well, yeah,
He's up to something, that guy.
He's always up to something. I don't want to linger on it.
Should we prank him back?
I don't...
Should we pretend that... I don't even know. How doth one prank the prankster?
Yeah. Well, at this point, I think one has to assume if Joe Lycett is up to something, it isn't what it initially seems.
Well, then the funniest thing he could do next is to do something really sincere that is so odd and seems so much like it's about something else, and then it's just not. He's going to have to subvert his subversion.
Right. So it ends up being...
What it is.
Right, yes, I see, yeah.
And you have to lull people back into believing what you're doing.
Yeah, everyone gets into a kung fu stance, and you go, "No, that."
And you
really...
go, "No, I'm selling a branded ham. I'm selling Joe Lycett branded ham.
I've worked really hard on it. I have good relationship with the suppliers.
I picked the honey for the glaze.
Mm-hmm.
It's a Christmas thing. It's going to be affordable. It's nice, high quality.
Yeah, well, responsibly sourced.
I'm selling a ham.
Selling ham.
And everyone's like,
okay.
And everyone's like, okay, so where can we buy this ham?
And eventually this will be a comment on, I don't know, animal welfare or...
Something to do with saving the bees. You said, honey, is this about bees? And he's just like, look, I don't know why everyone's so upset.
Is this a reference to Liz Truss's pork markets? Is this another Liz Truss thing?
Is it bees? BBC?
BBC, yeah.
Bees, BBC?
Everyone ends up like Charlie from Always Sunny, just with the charts trying to figure out the corkboard and the strings.
Yeah. Or, yeah. Everyone's just so tense. Like, people go and buy the ham and they're like opening it really, like facing away from them in case snakes jump out. Wait a minute, it's just ham in here. How is this a prank? And he's just there like, I can't
make this any clearer. It's just ham.
It's just a good quality glazed ham.
What's your favorite kind of ham? I'm going to disappoint you with my answer. As I often do with food related topics.
Of ham or pork?
Ham.
Ooh.
Anything that can be described as ham.
Ooh.
Or like a charcuterie pork. A charcuterie qualifying slice of pork.
Oh, well, then it's probably like a salami or something.
Okay.
I don't know. Yeah. Like my favorite ham would probably just be like, just the best ham is on the rare occasions when you get a sandwich or a pizza or something, and if there's ham on it, it's actually cut ham from a joint.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And not formed ham.
Right, yeah.
From a big washing machine.
Right, yeah.
And they
yeah,
do
yeah.
use washing machines.
You can really, actually?
What, if you're sitting at home, Google, how do they make ham into those perfect squares? And it's like...
Do they do the same for kebabs?
For only kebabs. The cheap ones. The good ones, they just spear cuts of meat onto yeah. the spear. Wow. What's your favorite ham, then?
Yeah, the pinker the better. I just love that pink... Like sandwich ham, just like cheap ass ham, just like wafer thin, just thin, just ham they can kind of just peel up and go like that.
I do like, my problem with it is that sometimes they, if anything, don't process it enough.
Interesting.
I think if
you go
gonna,
on,
if I think if you're gonna have processed ham, mm-hmm. make it just perfect.
Yeah, like a Frankfurter.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Exactly. Pink foam.
Best sausage.
Hard pink foam.
Salty pink foam makes me feel home. Put it in my mouth and I won't feel alone. Salty pink foam.
There's dogs on the fire. There's lynx on the tree.
Yes.
Hundreds of sausages waiting for me. Yeah. It's. I think what I don't like is when it's perfectly square formed ham, but there's still there's a darker bit and a lighter bit, and there's a slightly chewier bit.
Right.
And you go, well, are you going to process this or not, buddy?
Yeah. What was all this? You missed the spot.
You missed the spot. Giant washing machine full of water.
Yeah.
Wet old machine.
I love a spongy reformed meat.
I like poloni.
Poloni.
Mortadella.
What now?
Mortadella.
Oh, the pinky... The
pink tubes.
Yeah, I love them. That's lovely.
Yeah, it's called poloni in South Africa. And it's the closest thing to it is the mortadella you get here sometimes.
Yummy. Is that a washing machine ham?
Oh, my God, yeah. I mean, we used to make fun of it as kids in South Africa and just say it was just like lung.
Yum, yum, yum. Lung, lung, lung.
A tube of lung.
Delish.
Slice of lung, please. A quick one from Jessica.
Jessica. Jessica or Jessica?
Jessica.
Oh, I heard Jessica the first time. Like Brassica.
Jessica.
I heard Jessica. I don't know what else to tell you.
I'm saying Jessica.
Well, I was hearing Jessica.
Jessica.
Yeah, I was hearing
Jessica. Who's called Jessica?
Well, that's why I had to check. I think it would have been more worrying if I just went, Jessica, right.
but I can almost not hear the difference when you say it.
Really?
Yeah.
Jessica and Jessica.
Yeah. Until you said the E1, I would have just heard the E1.
Interesting.
If this is Laurel and Yanny.
Jessica, God bless her.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Hi there, Gerard Podpodieu.
Nice. Is that both of us?
Mm.
Okay.
Just pooping in with a quick one. Love the show. Brings me great joy. I was recently recommending your show to a friend, explaining to her that it's a great time had by all, with much hilarity of poop. We were talking about podcasts and both started thinking where the word came from. She looked shocked. She looked it up to find out it was a combo from iPod and broadcast.
Yeah, that's what I always assumed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In the meantime, I'd also started typing podcast into Google to find out, but was met with a podcast name generator as a suggested search.
Oh.
Which sounded fun. I should get out more. The search brought up an AI podcast name generator where you can enter a sentence to summarize your podcast. This ended with the below search and suggestions. So, she typed in, a show about poop, poo, turds, bum eggs. Here are the suggestions.
Great. So this is what an AI thinks Bud Pod should be called.
Yes.
Yeah.
With the thing put to the AI being a show about poop, poo, turds, bum eggs.
Yeah.
Pee Wee the podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Gutted, a show about poop, pee, turds, and bums.
That's not bad. Gutted's not bad at all. Gutted's pretty good.
Gutted. That would be the...
And what a British twist it's got to. Is this a British AI?
Talking shit.
Talking shit. Okay, yeah.
Pants Talk Podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Soaked in Snot. I beg your pardon?
This is veered off.
Soaked in
prompt.
Snot?
That was not in the prompt. Snot was not mentioned in the prompt.
We never mentioned noses, buddy.
All right, ChatGPT. Thank you.
Chat PPT.
Chat PPT. PPT. PPP.
Chat PPT. Chat PPWee. It becomes in gibberish.
Yeah, wee pee pee.
And the final one, Poop City.
Poop City. I like Poop City. Poop City's great.
It's really funny. I would love Poop City to be hosted by Ira Glass. Or one of those guys.
Yeah.
Welcome. You're listening to another episode of Poop City.
You're in Poop City. I'm Ira Glass, and this is Poop City. You know, I was thinking the other day that...
the other day I was talking to someone.
Sometimes I'm brown enough.
The thing about Poop City...
And, you know, what's really interesting about this is that...
Anyway, aren't we all living in Poop City? I don't live in Poop City. We should now move on to the private AI.
Oh, yes.
Of the Patreon.
Yes, we should. But thank you for listening.
Yes, thank you for listening, everybody.
Hope you're having a fun Christmas time. When will this go out? Is this...
This will go out just before Bud Pod Live.
Yes. So if you're hearing this...
You have 2 days.
There might still be tickets left. We don't know. We're recording this a bit in advance. But if there are any tickets left, on the 15th is Bud Pod Live at Bloomsbury Theatre in London. You must come.
You must come.
Oh, we'll have to assume you hate us. And we'll be crying all through Christmas Day. Boo-hoo-hoo. Boo-hoo-hoo. But otherwise, love you lots. Bye-bye. Enjoy. See you soon.
Bye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.